Wow, Paul McCartney. I read about you in history class. But where's your wife, Linda?
Right here, Lisa. Whenever we're in Springfield, we like to hang out in Apu's garden in the shade.
We met him in India years ago during the Maharishi days.
Back then, I was known as the fifth Beatle.
Sure you were, Apu.
You know what, Lisa? Paul and Linda are vegetarians too. In fact, Linda has her own line of vegetarian entrees.
Apu, I'm sure the last thing you want to talk about is...
We weren't satisfied with the other vegetarian meals on the market. You'd be surprised how often you'd find a big hunk of pork in them.
Ew.
Linda and I both feel strongly about animal rights. In fact, if you play Maybe I'm Amazed backwards, you'll hear a recipe for really ripping lentil soup.
When will all those fools learn that you can be perfectly healthy simply eating vegetables, fruits, grains, and cheese?
Ooh! Cheese!
You don't eat cheese, Apu?
No, I don't eat any food that comes from an animal.
Oh, then you must think I'm a monster.
Yes, indeed, I do think that. But I learned long ago, Lisa, to tolerate others rather than forcing my beliefs on them. You know, you can influence people without badgering them always. It's like Paul's song, Live and Let Live.
Actually, it was Live and Let Die.
Well, whatever. It had a good rhythm.
I guess I have been pretty hard on a lot of people. Especially my dad. Thanks, you guys.
Lisa, before you go, would you like to hear a song?
Wow, that'd be great.
Okay, take it, Apu.
I'm Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Man. I hope I will enjoy my show.
Episode 9 of Jay Won't Diet's podcast, the vegetarian/vegan episode. Welcome to episode 9 of Jay Won't Diet's podcast. This is my first episode to do with animals. Through different episodes of my podcast, I'm planning to cover topics about movies, computers, video games, music, and animals. In this episode, I'll talk a little bit about why you should really think about being vegan, the history of not eating animal products, health benefits, and how cool it is to whip out the line, "Yeah, I'm vegan because I care about the animals. They have feelings, and I really respect that." That little beauty is better than any date rape drug. You're going to get some serious action. That's why I'm vegan, of course. You should know by now that I love cutting sound clips from other media. In this episode, I have lots of snippets from other podcasts, and even some stuff from Metal Gear Solid 4, one of the best video games ever. It mentions animal abuse in-game as little Easter eggs. It's great to see such a manly, James Bond spy kind of game bringing up the idea that strong men can be nice to animals too. I also have some YouTube audio to play, and links to the videos I used are included in the notes for this episode. As always, you see them in lyrics, however you bring that up, depending on how you're listening to this podcast. If on an iPod, you go through the info for rating, skipping through the audio, and lyrics should be in there. You can see the entire script of this episode, with my sources at the very bottom. I do have some videos featuring celebrities, such as Moby, a musician, and Carl Lewis, one of the all-time greatest athletes in the world. He dominated world records for a considerable amount of time. He's not the fastest man in the world anymore, but it's cool to know that one of the very fastest men of all time is vegan. And Carl Lewis says that being vegan really helped his performance. Mixed in are some clips from No Agenda, my second favourite podcast, after the New Zealand Vegan podcast, of course. Knuckles, the host from NZ Vegan, was kind enough to record a clip to use in this episode. I'll have her on later. No Agenda often bring up anti-green, anti-vegetarian/vegan, and vegan, as Dvorak likes to pronounce vegan. He also thinks they're trying to put Amy Weinstein into rehab, that she says no, no, no. And that George Michael in the band was the lead singer of Queen. That weird noise you could hear was my iPhone. You can hear the interference and the ping-ping noise it makes when I get a text message. I'll leave that in because it's quite funny. When I listen to No Agenda, I'll write down funny quips. I grab a piece of paper and scratch out NA episode 40, 1 hour 40 minutes 14 seconds, or whatever. And at home later, I extract the clip to use. Here's the first of many clips. Some of the clips I use might be a little louder or quieter than my normal voice when I'm recording this. I'm not quite so good with the whole waveform thing. In GarageBand you can change the audio settings, the volume, for different clips, but I'm not too good at that. So I'll leave the clips at their native volume just for now. Just a heads up in case the clips start blurring at you.
It is American culture to reach behind the products in the front of the shelf and get the even fresher stuff from the back.
I do that.
I do that all the time. Are you kidding me?
Especially with buttermilk, by the way. For anybody out there who doesn't like buttermilk, they should get into it. And if you live in Florida and Georgia, this is where the best buttermilk in the country exists. I mean, you can't.
Oh man, I'm not a buttermilk. I'm a soy milk guy. I don't drink buttermilk.
Yeah, soy shrinks your brain, by the way.
No, it does not. That's what, horse shit. It's really good for you. Shrinks your brain.
Yeah, it's if you like to have a mock estrogen, soy is good. So if you're into that, that's fine. But anyway, which causes all kinds of issues. We're not big soy eaters in this.
Wait a minute, excuse me, John. Am I killing myself by drinking soy milk now? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
What? Seriously?
Yeah. It's an unnatural product. Stop drinking it. Drink milk.
Well, no, stop. No. Stop the fucking show. Excuse me. I've been drinking soy milk exclusively for the past 2 years because it's supposed to be good for me. And now you're saying...
It says the Soy Council and the public relations operations out of the U.S. By the way, we did a lot of research on soy. And, of course, I get a lot of flack for every time I bring this up. A lot of people think that, male breasts are due to too much ingestion of soy products. But anyway, the thing that's interesting is that the soybean lobby in the United States has got a public relations agency that is so strong that every time you read about soy, if you start looking at enough material, go on the web and start looking at, where people say, well, soy is bad for you, and then you'll see these responses. These responses are almost word for word identical because they're all pushed out by the soybean PR people who are just, keeping the soybean industry alive, and just mostly for the oil, which we don't use either.
Hold on. We'll get into the soy thing right after you finish the fresh and easy, because we just got to stick on that, but then I really want to hear about the soy stuff.
And canola's another one. Anyway, I'm surprised you don't drink canola milk. All right, let's go.
Oh, my breasts are a little tender. I wonder what's wrong.
Well, that's probably from something else, but anyway...
Okay, I seem to have the idea of the whole changing the volume thing down, so I will try and equalize all the volumes. Second clip now.
No, let's just make another tax out of the blue, and we'll call it CO2 tax, and nobody will complain about it because all these green freaks will think it's just cool.
I'm sure you blogged this somewhere, and I can't remember who it was. It was some official, and he came out and said, you need to eat less meat to save on carbon emissions. Did you read that story?
And yeah.
It's like amazing. It's like, because this is what's going to happen next. First, they're going to say, look, okay, you've got... 400 head of cattle. They all take a dump about
this
four times a day.
This is all the vegans.
Day.
I'm telling you, this is a bunch of vegetarian, vegan, whatever you want to call them, people behind all this.
It's the greenies, man. Damn greenies. So the next thing, of course, as they've now successfully taxed one of the four elements of life, being sunlight, water, oxygen, and carbon dioxide, is you're going to be taxed on how much you speak.
I love it when they talk about vegetarians and vegans. They joke as if we are some huge terrorist network invading America, poisoning people with our ideas about cutting out meat. I've read a lot about people tying in veganism and with global warming, how meat needs many times more resources and pollutes far more than plant crops do, but I don't like that spin either. Global warming politics is a very messy item. No Agenda often will point out a lot of things about what politicians are trying to do with it, all sorts of crazy taxes, and human rights getting taken away, all to save some supposed animal on the other side of the world. When you think about it, global warming, now called climate change when it turns out a lot of places are getting colder, not hotter, climate change is a lot like Y2K. Remember how upset people got over that? It was going to be anarchy, remember? Nuclear power plants would go off, killing millions, planes would drop out of the sky, nothing happened in the end. On No Agenda, they often give the idea that climate change is another way of creating a new economy, a new way for the elite to rule over the working classes. I don't deny that climate change is occurring, though. It's another topic, so I'd better get on track fast. I'll start by talking about vegetarianism. Vegetarians are people who generally don't eat meat, but they may or may not eat eggs and dairy products. Some really weird people don't think fish are animals, so fish don't count as meat. So what? They're minerals, are they? Vegetables with eyes, fruit with brains? Steve Jobs, Apple CEO, is said to be pescatarian, That means he eats fish, but not other animals. I personally think that pescatarians are kind of funny. I mean, they go so far as to cut out practically all animals, but then go and eat fish. So they don't get to use my killer pickup lines about caring for cute little animals and their really important feelings. Vegetarians may also eat honey and wear leather. When I ate things with milk in them, I had vegetarian cheese, which still is cow's milk, ugh, but it's free of rennet. Rennet is basically baby cow vomit. It's used to break down the milk and cheese. I guess they kill baby cows just for the rennet, as it's called. It's really vomit. Vegetarian cheese uses an artificial kind of rennet. It can come from other sources. I guess it must just be that it's more expensive than baby cow vomit. So mainstream people eat rennet-containing cheese without having a clue what's inside. People really should start looking into ingredients. Vegans are different to vegetarians. Donald Watson coined the term vegan. He took the start of vegetarian and the end to form veg-an, pronounced vegan. This clip's taken from Donald Watson's Wikipedia page.
I was surrounded by interesting animals. They all gave something. The farm horse pulled the plow, the lighter horse pulled the trap, the cows gave milk, the hens gave eggs, and the cockerel was useful alarm clock. I didn't realize at that time that he had another function too. The sheep gave wool. I could never understand what the pigs gave. But they seemed such friendly creatures, always glad to see me. He realized what purpose the pigs served when he saw one slaughtered, and his life was changed. At the age of 14, he became a vegetarian as a New Year's resolution, and in the 1940s, after learning about milk production, he became a vegan.
Here's another clip that I found from Wikipedia. It's set in San Francisco, and it's about asking random people what they think the word vegan means. I'll explain what it actually means after this clip.
Do you know what the term vegan means?
No, I don't, sir.
Do you know what a vegan is?
Is it a woman?
Do you know what the term vegan means?
No, we don't.
Marla, do you know what a vegan is?
A vegan?
No.
I don't. What's a vegan? I don't know, it's an alien?
Or do you guys know what the term vegan means?
A vegetarian of sorts, I believe.
Yes, and what kind?
I don't know what the ethnic variety is.
My name is Dolly Mukhopadhyay. Actually, we are from Niagara Falls, New York. How do you spell it?
V-E-G-A-N.
No idea.
Wrestler or what? Wrestling, you know, who does wrestling?
A vegan.
A vegan? No. Let me see. Vegan. Bug of some kind?
A what?
A bug of some kind? I have no idea. What a weekend is.
A vegan.
A vegan. No, actually I don't.
Vegan? No. No, I don't.
Do you know what the term vegan means?
No.
Do you know what a vegan is?
No, I don't know.
No.
A vegan? Is that a candy bar?
And what is your answer? Do you know what a vegan is?
Vegetarian, right?
It's someone who doesn't eat meat or cheese. I know it's a dietary thing. That's all I can, that's all I know.
We're asking people if they know what a vegan is.
Vegan? No, I have no idea what a vegan is.
Vegans don't use any animal products whatsoever. I now call myself a vegan, although I don't like the term, as to me, it sounds like a Japanese sex toy. It is a very useful term, though, as if you order food that's vegetarian, it could have milk in it, or eggs, or even fish. Who knows what the chef's idea of vegetarian is? Vegan is very easy to define, nothing belonging to an animal, so I'm starting to get used to saying that word, vegan. Vegans also shouldn't like leather. It's nothing more than preserved skin. It's gross what has to be done to the skin to make leather goods. I feel sick now when I see gorgeous women and then the scaly hide handbag they have. Now, being vegetarian or vegan is not a religion. I get very annoyed about people who call it a lifestyle or a personal decision. I don't see it as anything more than a choice somebody makes. I guess that's kind of a personal decision by another term. But it's a choice that somebody makes because they care about their health and the lives of animals. I myself was put off the idea of being vegetarian. I didn't even know what a vegan was until only a few years ago, because vegetarians are portrayed as freaky people, weirdo hippie chicks, always woman really, skinny, whiny, bitchy, always lecturing and handing out pamphlets on the street. If a guy is vegetarian, he's either gay or insanely effeminate. It's not a manly thing to do. I had known some vegetarians, even some family members living far away, in Christchurch, vegetarian capital of New Zealand, and a family friend, but I saw them as female and different people to me. They ate different things to normal people and were just weird. I guess it was the stereotype stamped in my mind from when I grew up. I knew I didn't like eating meat, I hated the bones in KFC, I could never pick the last bits of flesh from them, my parents would literally suck the bones to get to the marrow, I never could eat cold meat, I didn't like cutting meat from the bone. But I did eat meat, and I ordered medium rare steaks, I would have meatball Subway sandwiches, and meat lover's pizza. I guess it was trying to be a man really, trying to fit in. Through the internet, I learned about more people who cared about the lives of animals, and it started sinking in. I mean, I wouldn't eat a cat, would I? Of course not, because you just don't do that. Not to cats, but it's okay to eat cows, right? Online, I found out more and more about animal rights groups, like Save Here in New Zealand, Save Animals from Experiments, and PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. It started to affect me more and more. One of the final things for me was learning about really smart men who were vegetarian. People like Nikolai Tesla, who invented practically everything to do with electricity, radio and magnetism, Albert Einstein, Mr. Scientist himself, and Adolf Hitler, the baddest man in history. I began to see vegetarians more as normal people, people like me, who cared about animals, who didn't want to hurt them, to eat them. I couldn't ever kill an animal and strip all its organs out, it's not me. So why should I pay someone to do it for me while I shut my eyes? It was all about being logical and about doing the right thing. Now that I had my own little vegetarian role models, it seemed like something I really wanted to do. Now I'll play the Metal Gear Solid 4 stuff. The first is about the tough James Bond type hero, Solid Snake, getting help from his rat friends.
Taking the duct, eh? Still remember where the exit is?
Yeah, I'll be fine. The way I remember it, these ducts aren't that complicated. And my old friends are still here to show me the way. I won't get lost.
Friends?
Friends. Little furry ones.
Little fur...
Never mind.
The second Metal Gear Solid clip is what happens if you shoot a wolf that appears during the game. You can hear a second guy, Otacon, get upset straight after you shoot it. He was in love with Sniper Wolf, who was a female boss who you killed in the same location years earlier on Chitto Moses Island. Well, I'll actually skip the Metal Gear Solid story. It's really good, but really complicated. Look it up sometime.
Snake, a link between cruelty to animals and antisocial criminal behavior was established a long time ago. If you keep on killing animals for no reason, we will be forced to conduct a thorough psychological review upon your return.
Here are some recordings from YouTube. The first is about a vegan guy who won't date meat eaters. Have a guess if he's straight or not.
Top 10 reasons I don't date a meat eater. If you can't commit to eating healthier, how can you commit to me? You are what you eat, and I love furries. I like environmentalists, and you just can't be a meat-eating environmentalist with all the pollution, waste and resources, and global warming problems caused by the livestock industry around the world. I don't want to be on vacation with you and have to worry about you wanting to try frog legs or even rabbit. Doesn't matter how hot you are on the outside, if you eat KFC, you're rotting on the inside. Vegetarians live longer, healthier lives. I don't want to be dating someone and then them have a heart attack when we're, you know. I love kissing passionately, and there's nothing more of a turnoff than burping up dead carcass. Compassion is sexy. Ignorance is not. The fat and cholesterol in meat clog the blood flow to all the major arteries. Know what I mean? I don't want a lard ass. I want an apple bottom. So go veg. There's plenty of meat alternatives out there. Me being one of them.
Did you guess that he was gay? Well, he is. His name on YouTube is Gay God. He has a photo of him with his boyfriend, and it's kind of obvious. Good for him, though. This clip is a response to that last clip. Now a woman who won't date meat eaters.
Yeah, hi, Matthew. I liked your video. I'm also vegan. So I wanted to reply with my own top 10 reasons why I don't want to date a meat eater. So anyway, here goes. Number one, if you can't love yourself enough to be vegan, then how could you love me? Number two, vegans and vegetarians naturally smell better, and I love a natural, earthy smell. Number three, I care about the air, the water, the trees, so it only makes sense to be vegan. Number four, I believe you should love animals, not eat them. Number five, if you eat meat, you have dead animals rotting in your colon, and there's nothing sexy about that. Number six, vegans and vegetarians don't pick up cold viruses the way meat eaters do, and to me, health is everything. Number seven, if you could not look into an animal's eye and kill it, then why would you pay the meat industry to kill it for you? That's being untrue to your own human nature. And if you're untrue to your human nature, then you'd be untrue to me too. Number eight, love and compassion for all things is making advancements in our own evolution. Number nine, we have two major arteries, one that feeds our brains for oxygen and nutrients, and one that feeds our, you know, genitals for sensitivity, long, hard stability, and pleasures. Clogging those arteries up with fats and cholesterol from meat, you become impotent, brain dead, and insensitive and retarded. And last but not least, number 10, I don't want someone who eats nasty old tacos. I want someone who can get creative in the kitchen, like me.
On YouTube, people just have to add their opinion, normally in some hastily shot video. Finally, a meat eater who wouldn't date vegetarians. His clip sucks compared to the vegan versions. It just doesn't have any thought put into it, so I only play one of his little clips.
Doesn't matter how hot you are on the outside, if you don't help me finish this bucket of KFC, I'm gonna kick your ass.
Obviously an intellectual. It was fairly easy to be vegetarian for me, apart from the first month where I kind of felt weird not eating what my dad ate. People generally don't even know. You don't have to eat meat every meal. It's not like you have to be seen eating live chickens as you walk down the street. I started being vegetarian when I was 19, for 2007, 7 the lucky number, and for 2009 I've decided to start being vegan. All I had to do was cut out things with milk inside. Things with milk as an ingredient were harder for me to avoid than meat. I'd never thought about it, but chips, baked beans, even bread can all have milk hidden away inside. Suddenly, things I'd been eating every week for years were the devil and had to be replaced quickly. To hear about someone else's perspective, here's my friend Knuckles from the NZ Vegan Podcast. She was wonderful enough to record this for my little old podcast.
Hi Jordan, thanks for having me on your podcast. And I'm just going to tell a little bit about how I became a vegetarian and then a vegan. when I was living in New York, and I don't even remember what year it was because it wasn't a major event in my life. My good friend Mariah was a vegetarian, and another friend of mine, Sari, was vegetarian, and this another girl, Torch, we called her Torch because she had red hair, I believe she was vegan. Now, she wasn't a very outspoken vegan, but they had all these wonderful meals, and I remember this was probably, like I say, I don't even know what year it was. I was in my 20s. I must have been at least 27 by this time. I'd eaten meat my whole life right up until that point, and I didn't want to eat meat anymore. Obviously, I didn't consider fish to be meat. I don't know what was going through my mind, but I didn't. Or I was kind of following their example, I think. So they were my example that I had. And the example that I had in my close friendships was really good friends of mine that I really looked up to, who are really beautiful and healthy, and they were vegetarians, quote unquote, which is, I guess, omnivore pescatarian. I don't know, because they would eat eggs and cheese and milk, and would also eat fish. So I sort of adopted their diet. The food was, you know, delicious. The vegan food, was delicious because there's a lot of vegan food in this. I mean, we would have the most beautiful vegan dishes. We didn't call them vegan. We called them just vegetarian, and then our fish dishes we called vegetarian. So we were a little twisted in our thinking, but that's basically how it all began for me. Just learning, you know, how to cook and all these wonderful meals without having a big chunk of meat as the center of the meal. Now, like I say, I was still eating cheese, I was still eating fish, and I was still eating shrimp, shellfish, and all those kinds of things. So that lasted for quite a few years. The whole time I was in New York, from the time that I actually went vegetarian, because of my friend's influence and showing me that you could have these beautiful vegetarian meals, learning how to cook with beans and lots of herbs and lots of different vegetables, all the different types of vegetables that were available, and salads and wonderful grains and things like quinoa. And my friend taught me the most wonderful black bean and corn and quinoa salad. It's a purely vegan dish. You know, inadvertently, without it being on purpose, we ate a lot of vegan food as well. And it wasn't until, I'd been doing that until, so let's say I moved to New York in 98, and maybe it was about a year after I lived there. No, it would have been more than that, maybe even 2 years before I maybe went vegetarian. I really don't know. So let's say 2000. And then I was vegetarian from then till 2007. Like I say, when I say vegetarian, you really have to take that with a grain of salt, because I really wasn't. Well, I guess I was vegetarian by the standard of vegetarian, because the accepted vegetarian standard is eating eggs and wearing leather, etc., etc. I went vegan because I had seen something called Pity the Pig, and it was about pig farming. I saw my first footage of animal treatment. I saw my first footage of animals being slaughtered for food, being the way that they were treated, and had the first, that was the first time that it happened to me. And that was the first footage that I ever saw in my life that showed animal farming in that way, the truth, in other words, the slaughter. It was horrific, and it woke something up in me. Never seen anything like that before. It just began a small seed in my consciousness that grew and grew over the course of a year. So I started looking out for these things, and I started coming up, and I saw one about dolphins and whales and the dolphins that get slaughtered in Japan on a yearly basis for food. And they also kill whales and they sell it as dolphin flesh. Dolphins are a delicacy in Japan. And the guy who did the documentary that I saw showed the slaughter of the dolphins, and that was also extremely devastating. And that got me thinking, obviously, about marine life. And I decided to give up fish because I finally made the connection that Jordan had already made about, look, fish are sentient beings just as much as any other animal. And I stopped eating fish, and also I started to educate myself a little more about the devastation to the environment, and I started to look for vegetarian leather. I wanted to buy some new shoes, and I, for the first time in my life, decided to avoid buying leather. And I ended up going on a website, because I was planning to come back to New Zealand, and I went on a website, and they had done a screening of the film Earthlings, and as soon as I saw the preview, I knew I had to watch it. The reason I say that is because I owed it to all the animals that I had consumed in my years of existence. I owed it to myself to face the truth. And it wasn't like I was trying to punish myself or anything like that. It was just a matter of I knew that I needed to see this film to expose myself to the truth once and for all. It took me a long time to get up the courage to see that film. I had it sitting on top of my computer for a few weeks before I got up the courage to watch it, because I knew it was going to be very painful. And I watched Earthlings, and before that I had already decided to go vegan, but I still was wearing my leather shoes and things like that. As soon as I saw that film, that was where it broke, and I just couldn't even wear the things anymore. I donated everything to charity, and I started to really educate myself about what it really meant to be a vegan, and I learned it took a while. I mean, there's so many things involved in our lives that are animal products, but that was the turning point for me. Now, I just want to say that I don't rely on films, and I don't rely on that film, because films alone don't work. You need the philosophy behind it. I wish that at the beginning of Earthlings, the disclaimer was, you know, if anything in this film affects you, go vegan. I wish at the end it said, if you feel bad about what you've seen, go vegan. It doesn't push veganism, and I think that that's the only way to push animal rights. If you care about animals, you don't use them. If you care about animal rights, you don't use them. And the only way that what we call the definition of not using animals as a human being is veganism. That's the name that it is, because it encompasses all our use of animals, from experimentation to clothes to entertainment. So that was my journey. It took a long time. And when I was a quote-unquote vegetarian, I did not think fundamentally about the issue. And that troubles me now, but that's, you know, it's I live with it. So now that I have become a vegan and I've really started to educate myself and I've gotten more involved in activism and I go on websites and I associate with other people who have knowledge about what things we're doing to animals, and I can avoid more and more products that I learn are not vegan, and I can discover more and more things that are vegan. It's a life-changing thing, and it took me until well into my 30s to do it. So I very much admire people who do it when they're very young. So I think it's great, but I'm not saying that there. I'm not trying to put degrees on us. Anybody who goes vegan at the age of 100 is just as valid to me as somebody who goes vegan at the age of 15. I guess I just envy people who go vegan when they're younger. I wish I had done it. I look up to them in that way. I think it's very hopeful for our future. And it's their future. I mean, you know, and it's their adulthood that's really going to be affected, especially by things like the environmental impact. So they're very smart to do it. But anybody can go vegan at any age, and it's just as valid. I guess just personally, I almost feel like I cheated myself out of it, and I missed out. I had a friend who was vegan when I was 17 years old. She was 23, and she was not very outspoken about why she was, or if she was, I wasn't listening. You know, you can't go backwards, you can only go forwards. So from now until the day I depart this earth, I am a vegan. Thanks for having me on the show, Jordan.
No, thank you, Knuckles. You can find the NZ Vegan podcast on iTunes by searching for NZ Vegan in the iTunes store. My average meals now have a lot of beans, rice, pasta, fruit and vegetables in them, more than when I ate meat. I hate even thinking about eating meat now. I wish I could just forget about it, just delete my past. I even feel angry at my parents a little for how they ate around me when I was little. I feel like I was cheated out of thinking about not eating animals when I was younger. Ultimately, it's a personal decision, not something I can blame on everyone else, but I really wish I'd never eaten animal products now. I've heard about people being angry at vegetarians who bring their children up that way, vegetarian. They say it's like brainwashing, depriving them of dead animals, all hacked up, but that really works both ways, And I think that you could use the term brainwashing more for people who are told to pet the kitty because animals feel pain, but to be quiet and eat the chicken's legs because it's normal, damn it! Some of my friends act like I'm weird now. They've joked that I've had some spiritual awakening or something, like I'm a weirdo hippie now. Sometimes they'll say, right, I'm off to KFC, in front of me now. It doesn't bother me at all. No skin off my back, huh? Their little words don't cut me to the bone. I'm on a roll. So once I got the idea that vegetarians weren't weirdos, I felt great being vegetarian, and now vegan, for my health and for the lives of the animals. Screw anyone who wants to put down someone else for caring. Now it's time for two more no agenda vegetarian clips. The second one out of these is my favorite out of all of their vegan remarks.
It has, so it literally falls apart. Yeah,
yeah, but it falls apart in the ocean, and then those particles are eaten up by microbes or whatever they're called. So that's not good, is it?
I don't know.
I mean, if they drink soy milk,
Fuck you.
This one's my favorite out of all of their clips.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh.
Hey, so getting a lot.
I got a link for you, man. Hold on. I'm going to send you this link. This is something we could have thought up. Of course, we didn't. Hold on.
We're too busy talking.
This is true. This is a website where you can help choose the sexiest vegetarian next door 2009.
This has been going on for a few years.
I've never seen this. And they have
the
female and
vegetarian.
Male contestants.
It's also sexiest vegan.
I thought this was new. They all look kind of scrawny.
PETA.org.
Oh, is it from,
yeah. Scrawny.
I think Brooke's pretty
What's
hot.
What's the meat
though.
On your bones, Amanda?
Look at Brooke. Brooke's pretty
oh,
hot.
Oh, look at now. This is funny. This is a... This is like a single elimination tournament and the NCAA or something. They got this thing blocked off.
Hey, we can do our fantasy league.
Against Brooke, and she'll take on the winner of Amber and Christina in the next round.
How about Amy? Now they're all scrawny. Look at
Amy at the bottom.
Yeah, she's scrawny, man. And a lot of them have implants.
She can't even stand up. She's so thin.
She's lying down. I'm so weak from not eating.
Down. The poor woman can't even stand.
I'm so weak. I must lay down in my lingerie.
She looks like she's got a fake top.
Hell yeah. It's totally fake.
So
but that'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll send you the link. And here's one. Amanda, age 23, all tattooed up like Amy Weinstein.
Winehouse.
Oh, whatever.
Weinstein.
But look, this is good. Amanda, she lives in Australia and California. I don't know how that works. That's what I call a long commute. But she always comes back to her hometown of Fulton, New York. What
Holy
is this
moly.
Girl, international what?
She's her own little trilateral commission right there.
She loves to cook and especially loves to create her own unique recipes, much to the delight of her family, who God knows where they live. Amanda says that even her brothers, who hunt and fish, enjoy the meat substitute she used. The adventurous vegetarian also loves skydiving, tattoos, notably, biking. What is kind of a hobby is that?
Right, here it comes, here it comes.
Skating and filmmaking.
she hopes to work in the film industry
someday. Well, from the looks of her, she's probably working in it now. But
the adult you know film industry. Let's see. There's a link to meat replacements.
Meat substitutes.
All of them look like they enjoy some meat from time to time, don't they?
Yeah, in the film industry, let's say. Jeez.
Well, let's pick a winner then. Let's just do it. Just pick a winner.
Well, you know, I do like the girl that can't stand up. She's kind of pretty.
It's just Amy is so weak.
So weak. She can't stand up. She can only do sex.
We're going to get some email now. Oh, goodness.
I mean, I'd have to look. There's too many of them here. You have to look at all their pictures, and these are all, you know, professionally taken photographs. These girls could be homely as a mud hen. Really good, made up with a. This is bull. Stuff is ridiculous. Oh, there's male contestants. I didn't see that.
Yeah, I haven't looked at them.
Oh, brother. You might as well put it. Look at Monty.
Hold on. Where's Monty?
This one's going to get you.
Oh, man. Monty may not eat meat, but he's definitely carrying a quarter pounder.
I think he does eat meat, if you know what I'm saying.
John.
Sorry. Okay.
How about
enough
Ari?
Of this.
How about Ari?
It brings out the bad side in me, letting me ad-lib about
Did you see Ari with his little white puppy?
Yeah, that's another one. I guarantee none of these guys that are on this one care much about the female contestants, let's put it that way. Which is okay.
You know, that's you're generalizing, man. No, I think you're right.
So, just look for yourself.
Oh.
So anyway,
some famous vegans. Jermaine Jackson, Michael Jackson's brother. Dennis Kucinich, he ran for president of America. His super sexy red-haired wife, Elizabeth, who's half his age, she's also vegan. Joaquin Phoenix, he narrated Earthlings. Moby, techno artist who made music for Earthlings. Weird Al Yankovic, he makes all the parody songs. Billy West, voice actor on Futurama and many other shows. Pamela Anderson, Ellen DeGeneres, Tobey Maguire, Daniel Johns of Silverchair, Prince, Shania Twain, Andre 3000 of Outkast, Ingrid Newkirk, founder of PETA, and Donald Watson, founder of the UK Vegan Society, and also the man who came up with the word vegan by taking the start and end of the word vegetarian to make vegan. Phew! And that's just a tiny list, from memory. Moby is a famous popular musician and vegan. Here's an interview.
My favorite thing about food? Gosh, where do you even begin? I mean, it's without food, life as we know it would be impossible. I've been a vegan now for about 20 years. The best things about being a vegan, one, it's forced me to experience a lot of foods that otherwise I never would have experienced. It's made me a much more sort of like discerning and discriminating eater. You know, when I was 18 years old and my diet consisted of hamburgers and meatloaf and Frosted Flakes, nothing against Frosted Flakes, I would get depressed more easily, I'd be lethargic, I'd be tired a lot. And I'd say being a vegan, like, it gives you more energy and you feel more awake and you just feel more alert. Being a vegan on tour, the challenges are sort of geographically specific, you know. Like, being a vegan on tour in Los Angeles is easy. Being a vegan on tour in Moscow is not so easy. Beijing might be a little tricky. If I'm going somewhere that is not going to be vegan friendly, I make sure that my managers contact them beforehand and make sure that the promoter knows what vegan is and arranges something. Veganism is funny because a lot of times you meet people who are unfamiliar with it and they approach it with a degree of ridicule. I was talking to a friend of mine who was ridiculing my vegan diet. Basically, he was saying, like, what is there to eat if you're a vegan? I was like, okay, here's the thing. For the next month, you only eat animal products. And then tell me what's good about being a vegan. Because the only thing that makes animal products taste nice is the vegan component. If someone chooses to eat meat, that's their choice. You know, I've made my choice, and I ideally hope that people would respect it. So in turn, I feel like I have to respect other people's choices. One of the fantastic things about living in New York is we outsource things that would normally be done in-house. Like, for example, I don't have a lot of storage space, but I have Whole Foods a block away. So Whole Foods and my deli are essentially my pantry. So if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm making spaghetti and I need fresh basil, you walk 50 feet down the street. And here you walk into the store and you can be a lot more, I think, spontaneous. It's not very rock and roll talking about spontaneous food shopping, is it? You should be talking about the hookers and drugs.
Here's some more of the No Agenda clips that I've gotten so far. I'm sure they'll talk about vegans in the future.
And I think the headline kind of like says it all, and it's about global warming, but the headline is, we need to solve the, now quote marks, meat problem.
Ah, yes. I have a meat problem that I need solving too. And you can email me. This is unbelievable, but it makes so much sense because, you know, we know that this satellite failed to separate from the payload from the cone.
How
this,
ironic.
Yeah, this was the big fail. This was the satellite that was actually going to measure the sheep belching and cow flatulence as a part of man-made climate change from space. You know, it's out of control.
I wonder what was going on during the era where the entire Western plains were covered with millions and millions and millions of bison.
Well, surely you know that bison...
They must have farted.
No, they don't fart, man. No. By the way, I have done quite a bit of sheep shearing in my day. When I was much younger, we lived just south of Amsterdam in a small farming village. And it was a lot of fun, really. You know, the old-fashioned way with shears. I have held many a sheep between my legs. There's a great drop for you. I've held many a sheep between my legs, but I've never heard one belch, ever. Have you?
Well, no, actually we have a sheep.
And does he belch?
I've never noticed it. Maybe when they go baa, that's actually a belch.
Well, I think I can tie a couple things together.
Sounds like a belch.
It's a little difficult sometimes to find out if historical figures were vegetarian and ate dairy and eggs, or if they were fully vegan. As my friend Knuckles points out, the word vegetarian really encompasses a lot of stuff. Some people who just stop eating red meat will call themselves vegetarian. It's become a trendy fad, something that famous people do, like Scientology, and something that Oprah did herself for 21 days to cleanse. Ugh. Oprah said so much great stuff about being vegan. She also stopped caffeine, sugar, and other things. She said how great it made her feel, and how easy and tasty the food was. But then she goes and gives it up still. It really makes it seem like a trendy diet you do for a month, and then give up. This clip was on CNN. It's some Woman's Day type story. Woman's television, I guess. Ugh, it's just awful to listen to them. They talk about veganism as being hard. They don't think about the animals. It's about giving up non-vegan chocolate cake. It also makes veganism to look like a new fad diet, like the Atkins diet or something. Something that you would do for a little while, and then give up once you grow out of it. It does have an interview with Russell Simmons at the end, though, and it has a huge figure that they claim is the number of vegans in America.
An estimated 10 million Americans have gone vegan, cutting out meat, dairy, meat byproducts, all just completely out of their diet. Even Oprah's trying it, but can changing what you eat actually change your carbon footprint? Arlena Cho is here with more. What do you think? Are you going to do it?
Well, maybe. We'll have to see. The food is quite good, actually. You know, some believe changing your diet actually has more of an impact than changing your car on the environment. You know, we've all heard about flying less, driving less to reduce your carbon footprint, but going vegan? Some say eating a plants-only diet is earth-friendly, but does vegan food taste any good? We went for a taste test. When Oprah announced her 21-day body cleanse, no caffeine, alcohol, or animal products, she wondered,
what is left?
Apparently quite a lot. Oprah's a convert, saying on her blog, I never imagined meatless meals could be so satisfying.
I think vegan food gets a bad rap, definitely.
Why?
Just because of over the years, it's been known as bland and, you know, granola and tofu and kind of hippie.
Brooklyn chef Mateo is a vegan chef, meaning no dairy, meat, or any animal products. But this food is anything but earthy, crunchy, like cashew cheese ravioli. The pasta is made from thinly sliced turnips. It has a cheese flavor, but it's actually made from ground nuts.
Yes. It's so good.
But is it really good for the planet?
You can feed more people with a vegetarian-based diet than you can with a standard diet.
Recent studies say eating a plants-only diet produces far fewer greenhouse gases than an animal-based diet, shrinking one's so-called carbon footprint. Dr. Gidon Eschel co-authored one study for the University of Chicago.
If you only eat plants, your footprint drops by a ton and a half of CO2 per person per year.
The USDA says the average American eats more than 117 pounds of red meat every year. Eschel says eliminating meat is better for the environment than switching from a Toyota Camry to a hybrid Prius. That's because producing food from cows creates more carbon monoxide and methane gas. Eschel compared two dishes with a similar calorie count, a 6-ounce steak and a plate of veggie stir fry. He found the production of just one steak creates 24 times the amount of greenhouse gases as the vegan meal. But if you're still skeptical, how about this? Chef Mateo's chocolate peanut torte with strawberry and vanilla coconut cream. Right. It's very good. Now, a lot of people ask, what's the difference between being vegetarian and being vegan? Well, vegetarian means no animal flesh, meaning no meat, fish, or poultry. Vegan is a bit more strict, no animal products or byproducts. So add to the list things like dairy and eggs. It's really tough to do. You know, you have to be diligent about it. Researchers say, though, you don't have to go entirely vegan to be green, Kira. They say even cutting back from 2 hamburgers, say, to 1 a week can make a difference on the environment.
Shouldn't be so difficult.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's a lot of people actually doing this. Joining us now, hip-hop mogul and vegan, Russell Simmons. He's also the author of Do You, 12 Laws to Access the Power in You to Achieve Happiness and Success. And he was telling me Oprah helped him with that title, so that's why the book's been doing so well. That with the content. Good to see you. So why do you do it?
Well, just to cause less harm. And one of the things that we do now, and the UN reports that a vegan diet is, or the consumption of animals causes more harm to the environment than all the forms of transportation put together. Since we're talking about the environment, that's
right.
One thing. Of course, I don't think when they said dominion over the animals, they meant the abuse of 10 billion farm animals every year, which is what we do here in America. So it's just a nice statement. I feel better. My friends report to me that over the last 15 years, I look better. You know, so it's a... it's a big change for me, and it's, you know, more clarity. And I think that all of us want to be more clear, want to look younger, want to feel better, and want to be a greater contributor to good on the planet.
Well, you're doing that in so many ways, and just being a vegan is one part of your book. And I wanted to just talk about that for a minute, because it's a side of you that I think is extremely endearing and unique. And you had signed this rapper, Jinxta Juvie, to Def Jam. And I know what an inspiration he was to you. He was, you know, shot a number of times. He saw his friends die. And he was an inspiration for this book, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
You really saw and become a man.
Yeah, no, I've seen so many artists grow, and I've been involved in mentoring many artists over the years, and he's one example. He's one who I just took under my wing, like almost like a son. So he is a good example.
Which moves into how you've seen him change and others change through what you've taken on. You actually said you wanted to go to yoga class and check out the girls.
Yeah,
but you found the Dharma.
Yes.
Tell me how that has changed your life. You're meditating, you've sought out this higher truth that's really gone deep into your soul.
Well, it's just to recognize what's in you. I mean, in fact, all of us are looking for more stillness, for a chance to see the world in its beauty, right? And we're struggling with that. I mean, we have all these things that separate us. So the meditation slows the world down just a bit. The physical practice of yoga is part of that same process. All of us are searching, and so when you find a path that suits you, you know, whether it's making church, or, you know, whether it's your temple or your synagogue or your mosque, and whatever it is, it's a path down the same road, you know, and all of us are trying to get there, and yoga for me has been a very helpful practice.
There's many international groups that promote being vegetarian. Most people today will have heard of PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. PETA have been mentioned quite a few times on mainstream television, like The Simpsons. They put out huge billboard ads. They've had advertising spots during the Super Bowl over in America. Lots of PETA campaigns are well remembered. They almost all end up causing controversy. Many use violent imagery, showing blood in cages, saying that eating meat is like the Holocaust.
Like the Jews murdered in concentration camps, animals are terrorized when they are housed in huge filthy warehouses and rounded up for shipment to slaughter. The leather sofa and handbag are the moral equivalent of the lampshades made from the skins of people killed in the death camps.
That really annoyed Jewish organizations in America. Even though it was also defended by famous Jewish animal rights campaigners, In America, mentioning anything negative about Jewish people seems to be instantly bad. You get sued for using the J word. Other campaigns Peter has run target KFC, McDonald's, and other huge fast food companies for using abused animals in their food byproducts. These campaigns often result in the targeted company introducing some token vegetarian option, like salads, along with a little PR speech saying, "Company X is all for animal rights, and we try to have our animals in the largest cages available," blah blah blah. Peter have also shown animals being used in experiments. They have hidden cameras on as they visit places where horrific acts occur. Some I've seen are about animals in experiments, such as having their bodies strapped into a machine and snapped upright to test the effects of pressure on living bodies. Other experiments that are performed on animals include isolation tests, vivisection, that's operating on them, and testing chemicals on animals. Many large companies put chemicals into rabbits' eyes to test how they react badly. A well-known PETA discovery was the case of Britches, a monkey who was kept at the University of California, Riverside. Poor Britches was taken from his mother, his eyelids were sewn shut with really thick string, and a bizarre sonar device was strapped on his head. Britches and another 23 animals were to be kept isolated from other animals for 3 whole years, apparently to see if these animals could learn to see with the sonar device or something. It's just sick. There's plenty of photos of Britches online, eyes all bandaged up, and the sonar device that would make a high-pitched noise every so often. Britches was found with a warm device with fake nipples, which he cowered around, probably thinking it was his mother. Close to 500 animals were liberated or stolen from the labs, and now Britches lives with other animals, without any experiments performed on him. Many famous celebrities campaigned for Peter. Pamela Anderson is probably the most well-known. I wasn't sure about what Peter's actual goals were, if they were into what's known as animal welfare, where companies that use animals, such as slaughterhouses, they're asked politely to use less painful methods of killing animals, or abolition, which is ending all animal use, period. Practically all the anti-meat pamphlets I've seen from Peter use the word vegetarian, not vegan, so I asked if they'd clarify Peter's position on animal use, and I got back this statement.
Thank you for contacting PETA with your inquiry. Please let us assure you that PETA believes, as our motto says, that animals are not ours to eat, wear, experiment on, or use for entertainment. Period. We don't think raising and slaughtering animals for food is ever acceptable, no matter how big the cage is. However, we recognize that change will not happen overnight, and while we're working toward a complete abolition of animal agriculture, we're also committed to doing whatever it takes to make life better for the unlucky animals who are suffering right now. Conditions for animals are so dire that we don't have the luxury of imagining that this movement is about our comfort levels or personal purity. If we have an opportunity to ban particular abusive practices, we owe it to the animals to use that chance to make their lives a bit less miserable, while still working toward a completely vegan world, of course. This is why we campaign against companies like KFC for improved animal welfare standards, http://www.kfccruelty.com, while also vigorously promoting a vegan diet as the best way to help animals. Likewise, we campaign for the Australian wool industry to stop mutilating live sheep, while also campaigning to get people to stop wearing wool altogether. See http://www.savethesheep.com for more information. By waging campaigns that focus on improving the welfare of animals, we will be able to bring about animal liberation at a more rapid pace. When an abusive system is pervasive in society, people always try to mitigate the victims' suffering before they are able to end the system entirely. For example, in the 1800s, people realized that all citizens, regardless of their skin color, deserved rights, so slaves were freed. Despite this, blacks were still segregated from whites through the separate but equal rule, which was eventually recognized as unjust and ended. Animal rights will inevitably take the same course. By pushing people to recognize that animals at least deserve better treatment, we're awakening people to the idea that animals are not simply machines to be abused at will. More humane systems will be developed, and eventually, when people realize that humane slaughter is an oxymoron, animals will be liberated. Finally, we absolutely agree that dairy, leather and other animal products should not be used. While we do use the word vegetarian in our marketing campaigns and materials, what we are actually promoting is veganism. We never promote the consumption of animal products, and all vegetarian information, recipes, and material we provide is in fact vegan. To learn more about our efforts, including our many victories for animals and ways that you can help, please visit http://www.peta.org. For more information about effective advocacy for animals on factory farms, please see http://www.govg.com/effectiveadvocacy.asp. We hope this helps explain our position on this issue. Thanks again for contacting us and for your interest in animal rights. Sincerely, Jeff Haynes, Correspondence Assistant, PETA Foundation.
I thought that was quite a good ready-to-send response, but I do wish PETA would use the word vegan more often. Here's a clip from Ingrid Newkirk, a co-founder of PETA.
Everyone eats, so we have done our best not only to reform the worst abuses in factory farming and slaughterhouses, but to promote a compassionate vegan diet, providing all the resources, from recipes to health tips, that a person could ever need. We have also revolutionized the way some companies do business, getting them to stop selling fur, boycott Australian merino wool, and abandon painful animal poisoning tests in favor of sophisticated non-animal methods. We have shown how to prevent flooding without destroying beavers' homes, and how to prevent birds from entering big box stores without using cruel glue traps. In the past year alone, former circus and zoo elephants were sent to sanctuaries, hog dog rodeos were banned, and cruel companies were fined. We also educated millions of kids about animal rights through our teacher network and education programs.
There's a very good interview podcast with her. If you search for Time 10 Questions on iTunes, you'll find the Ingrid Newkirk interview, where she answers questions Time readers have sent. I hope you decide to listen to it. It's not very long. However, there's been a lot of criticism of PETA. They operate animal shelters where they do kill unwanted animals. It's kind of shocking that some of their statistics show that they've killed up to 85% of all the animals given to them in a year. There are no kill shelters that, as the name suggests, don't put animals to sleep forever, kill. But PETA says that these don't work out and are cruel because they basically keep the wounded and sometimes dangerous animals in cages forever. So PETA puts down the unwanted animals. PETA workers have also been caught before hurting animals. And another point, PETA have been criticised by abolitionist groups who call PETA welfarist, that PETA is willing to work with KFC etc. to still sell meat, as long as the animals' lives are made a little less horrible first. Abolitionists think that that's selling out, and that it's harming the vegan message to leave all animals alone. An interesting vegetarian to bring up is Adolf Hitler. I love reading about wars. History in general is awesome, but war is really the best of it. Politics by other means, as the old quote goes. Hitler is a famous vegetarian, or he said he was vegetarian. He's known to have eaten blood sausage and other gross German offal meals at times, and his personal chef is known to have snuck bone marrow and other guts into his meals if she thought he wasn't getting enough healthy food, like blood and bones. Hitler personally thought that being vegetarian was a great thing for the human race, and that it could help his own stomach problems. At the time of Hitler, being vegetarian was seen as more to do with your own health, to get the health benefits, rather than for ethical reasons like caring about animals.
Do you know that your Führer is a vegetarian, and that he does not eat meat because of his general attitude toward life and his love for the world of animals? Do you know that your Führer is an exemplary friend of animals, And even as a chancellor, he is not separated from the animals he has kept for years. The Fuhrer is an ardent opponent of any torture of animals, in particular vivisection, and has declared to terminate those conditions, thus fulfilling his role as the savior of animals from continuous and nameless torments and pain. New Geist Die Weis von, German magazine of the New Thought Movement. According to these transcripts dated November 11, 1941, Hitler said, "One may regret living at a period when it's impossible to form an idea of the shape the world of the future will assume. But there's one thing I can predict to eaters of meat. The world of the future will be vegetarian." On January 12, 1942, he said, "The only thing of which I shall be incapable is to share the Sheikh's mutton with them. I'm a vegetarian, and they must spare me from their meat." In private conversations, Hitler often recited the benefits of eating raw vegetables, fruit, and grains, particularly for children and soldiers. In an attempt to disgust dinner guests and provoke them into shying away from meat, he reportedly told graphic stories of visits he had made to a slaughterhouse in the Ukraine. Food writer B. Wilson notes, "It amused him to spoil carnivorous guests' appetites. As they put their forks down in disgust, he would harangue them for hypocrisy. That shows how cowardly people are," he would say. "They can't face doing certain horrible things themselves, but they enjoy the benefits without a pang of conscience." Finally, in his personal life, Hitler showed anti-meat tendencies. Hitler disapproved of cosmetics since they contained animal byproducts. He frequently teased his mistress Eva Braun about her habit of wearing makeup. 7. In his post-war reminiscence, The Enigma of Hitler, Belgian SS general, and friend of Hitler's, Leon de Grel wrote, "He could not bear to eat meat, because it meant the death of a living creature. He refused to have so much as a rabbit or a trout sacrificed to provide his food. He would allow only eggs on his table, because egg laying meant that the hen had been spared rather than killed."
From that we can see that he also ate eggs, so he was certainly not vegan. And because he was known to eat meat, he was not a very good vegetarian either. In other countries, being vegetarian or vegan is quite acceptable. In India, many people are vegetarian. Some surveys show as high as 40% of Indians are vegetarian. In India, it's very common for vegetable products to have a green circle and a green square. Products that have animal products in them should show a brown circle and a brown square. I wish all New Zealand food was labelled this way, although there are a handful of things with the Vegetarian Society's label on them. Many athletes are also vegan because of the health benefits. A very famous vegan is Carl Lewis. Here's a clip featuring him.
"When I became a vegetarian, most of my teammates did it. I said, let's do this, we're doing it. We're doing it all together, and many of them did it. Some of them have kind of drifted back, but none of them are where they were before. So we've all benefited from it. And funny, as an actor now, I find that people in general have better diets than athletes do, which is kind of amazing to think that you think athletes have the best diets. Most athletes have the worst diet in the world, and they compete in spite of it. So and nowadays, the way health food stores have come up, it's not like somebody that's kind of off on the side now. If you want to eat or have a healthier diet or have something that is different than the typical go to the grocery store, buy a big pound of meat and go home, then it's not unusual. So I like that, and I basically shop at the health food store. So most of my grocery shopping is there because those are the types of products I do. So for me, it was easier because my teammates, I guess because I was winning and I was the older one, I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. And they said, well, let's fall in line. But most of them did benefit from it, and they kept a similar diet.
So what got you into that kind of eating? Because like that kind of eating is not your typical American diet, you know?
Well, nor the athletic diet. What happened with me is that it's a funny thing. I was working on a project with another writer. We were writing a book, and he came down for about 10 days to hang out with me, so we were talking about this book. And every day we'd go to practice, and he'd watch, and he'd leave practice and come back, and I said, where were you? And so 3 or 4 days, I said, why do you always leave? He said, I was going to get something to eat. You never eat. So it made me look at myself and realize that I was just, instead of having a healthy diet, I was starving myself to keep my weight down. So it just coincidentally, shortly thereafter, I got into, started doing some research on what was the best diet where I could eat, because I love to eat, but be healthy and also be athletic. And it came out to cutting out a lot of the meat and, of course, adding the juice and getting out of the dairy products and all of that. So that's what got me there. And I ended up becoming all the way to a vegan for a long period of time. And I'll tell everyone this, my best performances when I was 30 years old and I was a vegan vegetarian. So it isn't, everyone says, where's your protein? Well, I ate tons of lentils, loved beans, had the juice. I did the things that I needed to do to replace what you would get with this tremendous amounts of meat that most people eat. I feel better when I have some fresh juice, or if I have a garden burger, or if I have a salad with tofu sprinkled on the top or something. I feel a lot more energetic because it feels like my system's cleaner, it flows through, and I feel lighter.
In America, almost one out of every 200 children and teenagers are vegetarian. It's more common among young women. To finish, I'll mention the Brown Dog Affair. It's about experiments performed on a small brown dog in 1903 in London. The dog, a small brown terrier, was used in an experiment, then kept in a cage for 2 months, where he howled loud enough to upset people. For the second, most well-known experiment on him, he was brought into a lecture theatre, strapped on his back to a board, his legs and head tied to the board, his mouth muzzled to try to silence him. His throat was cut in two, apparently to show something to do with saliva. He was electrocuted inside his throat or mouth area to try and make spit. It didn't seem to be working. The main experimenter kept trying to make saliva appear for 30 minutes. I guess he had this dog cut open, still quite conscious, and shocking the glands inside the dog's mouth for 30 minutes. A student came up, cut out the dog's pancreas, and then killed the dog with a knife. This whole awful affair was taken before court, and became a well-known news story at the time. Much protest happened about vivisection, performing experiments on living animals. The National Anti-Vivisection Society made a memorial to the little brown dog. The over 2 meter monument was made from stone, with a bronze dog at the top. It had a water fountain for people to drink from, and a lower trough for dogs and horses to drink from. An inscription on the memorial said, "In memory of the brown terrier dog done to death in the laboratories of University College in February 1903, after having endured vivisection extending over more than 2 months, and having been handed from one vivisector to another till death came to his release. Also in memory of the 232 dogs vivisected at the same place during the year 1902. Men and women of England, how long shall these things be?" Medical students were annoyed by the memorial. They didn't see anything wrong with experimenting on living animals. At first the memorial was safe, but in 1907, the area was protested often. Over time, groups of medical students would attack the memorial with weapons, and many people were arrested. During one protest, street vendors sold handkerchiefs with the date of the protest on them and this small slogan, "Brown dog's inscription is a lie, and the statuette is an insult to the London University." A good passage from the Brown Dog Affair Wikipedia page. Coral Lansbury writes that the causes of feminism and women's suffrage became closely linked with the anti-vivisection movement. Three of the four vice presidents of the Battersea General Hospital that refused to allow vivisection were women. Lansbury argues that the Brown Dog Affair became a matter of opposing symbols, the iconography of vivisection striking a chord with women. The vivisected dog, muzzled and strapped to the operating board, blurred into images of suffragettes, on hunger strike restrained and force-fed in Brixton Prison, woman strapped into the gynecologist's chair by an all-powerful male medical establishment, forced to have their ovaries and uteruses removed as a cure for mania, or strapped down for childbirth. Richard Ryder writes that the dog represented the vulnerability of women, the medical students, the machismo of science. In 1910, the memorial to the little brown dog was taken down. Over 75 years later, a small memorial was put up somewhere else, near the end of 1985. It repeats the previous inscription and adds, "This monument replaces the original memorial of the brown dog, erected by public subscription in Latchmere Recreation Ground, Battersea, in 1906. The sufferings of the brown dog at the hands of the vivisectors generated much protest and mass demonstrations. It represented the revulsion of the people of London to vivisection and animal experimentation. This new monument is dedicated to the continuing struggle to end these practices. After much controversy, the former monument was removed in the early hours of 10th of March, 1910. This was the result of a decision taken by the then Battersea Metropolitan Borough Council, the previous council having supported the erection of the memorial. Animal experimentation is one of the greatest moral issues of our time, and should have no place in a civilized society. In 1903, 19,084 animals suffered and died in British laboratories. During 1984, 3,497,355 animals were burned, blinded, irradiated, poisoned, and subjected to countless other horrifying cruel experiments in Great Britain." I think most people now would think it was wrong to experiment on animals like what happened to the little brown dog and countless other animals. Some say that there was no evidence the dog even had painkillers. I personally think that we don't need to experiment to hurt animals to find out what happens to people. There are now many animal rights groups worldwide. One that I like in New Zealand is SAFE, Save Animals from Experiments. They protest animal abuse of all kinds in New Zealand, and they promote vegetarian/veganism. I've been to meetings here in Invercargill of SAFE, and I was only the second vegan. There are a few vegetarians. I'm told in Auckland, all of the SAFE leaders are vegan though. Time for one more clip from No Agenda.
I got a couple nasty grams about people saying we're harping too much on people who don't eat meat, but I think they're kind of missing the point.
When do we harp on people not eating meat?
Well, that's what I mean. That's why they're missing the point. Well, you know, because we both agree that meat is good for you. And there's a lot of people out there saying that meat is bad for you.
Oh, it's because these guys are, you know, meat, I'm sure that a lot of meat isn't good for you. And if you eat too much of it, it can't be great. I mean, eating too much of anything. But these meat, anti-meat people, you know, just they shouldn't be listening to this show.
Does that mean vegetarians as well, or just anti-meat people in general?
Vegetarians, I can put up with a certain amount of it, as long as they're not pushy.
I just heard many, many iPods drop. Oh, man.
I think that most people can agree that hurting animals is wrong, and I hope that they investigate what's done to animals for themselves. There's a saying, you can't be a meat-eating environmentalist. I hope anyone who eats animal products and that's listened to this episode of my podcast will decide to listen to more vegan podcasts and Google for more information about animal rights. I hope it's been an interesting little toe dip into the world of vegetarianism and, more importantly, veganism. If you want to listen to more podcasts to do with animal rights, I cannot stress just how great the NZ Vegan Podcast is. You can easily find that by searching on the iTunes store for NZ Vegan. Knuckles even translates her show into Spanish. Thank you very much for your time. If you want to contact me, even just to say you listened, send an email to jwontdart@gmail.com. jwontdart@gmail.com. I'd appreciate it. Have a super happy day. Bye.
Just take that back. It came out wrong. The people who listen to the show aren't stupid. Sometimes we just don't hear things the way
they're... No, there are some people that listen to the show that are stupid and hate us.
Listen, little lady, it's the order of the day, issued by the highest of authority. Fellow those in the service simply can't be turned away. You know that defense must get priority. So if you're patriotically inclined, heed the call to arms and keep this thought in mind. You can't say no to a soldier, a sailor, or a handsome marine. No, you can't say no if he wants to dance. If he's gonna fight, he's got a right to romance. So get out your lipstick and powder. Be beautiful and dutiful too. If he's not your type, then it's still okay. You can always kiss him in a sisterly way. Oh, you can't say no. No, you gotta give in if you want him to win for you.
You can't say no to a soldier, a sailor, or a handsome marine.
No, you can't say no if he wants to dance.
If he's gonna fight, he's got a right to romance.
So get out your lipstick and powder. Be beautiful and dutiful too.
If he says it's cold on those submarines, you can knit a sweater, but that's not what he means.
Oh, you can't say no.
No, 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 no. Oh, they're not made of tin.
So you better give in
if you want him.